Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt, and we're brought to you by Core Sports, the very best in women's activewear, head sweats, function smart, and our buddy Gino Cinco. And you can check out any of our interviews on iTunes at Babbittville Radio. My next guest, two-time Olympic trials finalist, three-time NCAA champion, 10-time All-American, 2009 NCAA indoor mile champion, and most recently, distance medley relay indoor world record setter, Sarah Brown. Sarah, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
You've been busy. World record.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool to have a world record.
Yeah, it was. And it's actually really special for me just because we actually, my college team, the University of Tennessee, broke the record back in 2009, my senior year at the NCAA meet. So when I heard that the meet was going to set up another distance medley relay, I was really excited to be part of it because if they're going after my record, I wanted a shot to go after it again too. So you
set the record and then you broke the record.
Yes.
I love that. And the cool thing is, what, you were the anchor leg with Tennessee and you were the kickoff leg here.
Yeah, it was neat to do a different event in it. In college, I was always the anchor, and so it was just kind of a cool opportunity to run, you know, a different distance for it and kind of get the relay started.
You know, the other thing, I was looking through different things, so the 4x1500 world record, the 4x800 American record. You like relays.
I do. I was very fortunate to be part of a extremely talented team at Tennessee. And, we just got to go after a lot of those records. And there's nothing like running, you know, running can be very individualized. But when you're part of a relay, then you're running, you know, not only for yourself, but for your teammates. So, those are some very special memories for me. Just great friendships with those girls and then being able to step on the track and just knowing I could count on them. And it was just a very unique dynamic we had. And those are some of my best memories from my college days, for sure.
So take me back before college. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in a town about probably an hour southwest of D.C., Warrenton, Virginia.
Okay. And were you a runner early on, or was that something that evolved over time?
I actually started as a soccer player. I didn't come from a running background with my parents or anything like that. I was a soccer player from age 6 to 16, and the benefit I always had as a soccer player was that I was just fast and I had stamina.
Right.
So I could kind of run all over the field and just, you know, I didn't tire out, and that was kind of like the...
That was your signature. Like, you didn't wear it out.
Yeah. So it was kind of just one of those things. I always knew, like, oh, running is something I could try. And when I was 13, my parents put me in a Hershey track and field meet just to see how I would do. And I always joke, I ran my first race in cheerleading shoes and a soccer jersey. And that was the experience level that I was coming from.
Yeah.
But I won, and I made it to the national meet, and I won that. And through Hershey Track and Field, I had also heard about AAU Track and Field, so
yeah.
I jumped in a meet there, and I made it to nationals and got to go to, I think they were down in Orlando, so we made a vacation out of it, went to Disney World.
Wow.
And, I won that, too. So it was just kind of something like we jumped in head first, and I was successful, and so we kept going with that.
And so then you just ran all through high school?
I did. I didn't probably start practicing like officially till I hit high school.
Yeah.
Soccer was kind of what kept me in shape, and then I would jump in those races during the summer and compete. But when I got into high school, that was the first time I was actually introduced to like a formalized practice structure.
Did you realize early on that the 1500 was your event? Were you running cross country and running a number of different events at track meets?
Yeah, cross country. I was never a fan of cross country.
it's dirty.
So when I was recruited in college, I remember JJ coming and recruiting me. And I remember saying, like, oh, well, I'd like to be number 8 on the team, and then I can travel but not have to compete. So I definitely was still naive going into college. As I've matured as an athlete, I've appreciated what the longer distances can do for you, and I know that they do help your performance. But that was definitely a growth process for me, because I've never been a fan of the longer distances. The mile, I mean, it was just something you always ran in gym class. And so I feel like the mile is something that, even not coming from like a running background, you can relate to.
You're
right. You understand a mile. So just coming from my background, I think it was just something I could latch on to. And lucky it just happened to be my event. So it worked out really well.
You probably looked at the folks running the 5 and the 10 and were like, oh my God, I cannot believe you're running 20, 24. It's ridiculous how many laps you're running.
I'm slowly starting to accept the idea of maybe a 5K at some point, but a 10K, that's often left field somewhere. So I can't even imagine.
Now, you go to college and have a ton of success in college. But now, with the Achilles problems, when did those start happening for you?
My Achilles flared up after college. It was kind of my first professional season. And that season, you know, my first year out, I made the indoor world team, and I went over and competed in Doha, made the finals, and was running really well. And I think that's coming home from that meet is when I remember just thinking, wow, like something's kind of bothering me. But I had never had like some major debilitating injury. So I think I was just like, oh, a little bit of time off. And I went into the outdoor season and, you know, competed a full outdoor season. But by the time I got to some of the races in Europe, I just was limping and hardly being able to even cool down after races. And so I think it was just kind of like, okay, well, this was my first year out. You know, I come off, it's tough your first year out coming off like a full college season and then starting right into the pro circuit. So I didn't really expect it to be as big of a deal as it ended up being. And then I ended up, that was, you know, my 2010 season, and I pretty much missed my whole 2011 season. And I didn't actually get back competing on the track at the level I want it to be at until the 2012 Olympic trials. And even in that case, I wasn't running. I probably like 6 weeks before the trials is when I really started like being able to train again. So it was just a really tough journey for me.
I was talking to your husband, Darren, the other day, and he said there was, you know, basically you cross-trained your way to the Olympic trials and were really under-trained when it came to running, and everything was sort of everything was exciting. Like, you're like, oh, my God, I made it to the semis. Oh, my God, I made it to the finals, where your expectations would have obviously been a lot higher if you hadn't spent so much time being injured.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I don't know exact dates, but I think the trials were probably the end of June, and I didn't run the qualifier till like right before you're allowed to even, like, the cutoff date. Like, there's a cutoff. I didn't even get the qualifying time to make it to the Olympic trials, and even so, I just barely, like, made the qualifying, and I remember talking to my agent. And I was just like, well, I don't want to book a ticket to the trials until I have the time. And then the night I ran it, I'm like, okay, give me a ticket. Like, I'm going to go. It's good. I'm in. So, I didn't have a whole lot of time mentally to prepare, because it was just like, I had to put my head down and get things done. Like, there were steps I had to do, and I had to do them quickly, like make even, you know, get that qualifying time. So when I got to the trials, it was just like the same kind of mentality, put your head down and one step at a time. I think, like, I remember saying, like, if I make the finals, that will be sufficient, you know, like,
right,
that will be amazing. So I kept kind of surprising myself, and I think that was something I really needed after going through everything and battling through. You know, sometimes you need those runs where you don't know where it's coming from, but it's coming, and it just reminds you why you are in the sport and helps you, kind of gives you that push when you were really mentally kind of lacking that understanding of, like, why am I even doing this?
Was there a point where you thought your career might be over?
Yeah, I mean, whenever you're out for a year and a half, you kind of are just like, what am I doing? Like, in my mind, I think just as an athlete in general, you can be really hard on yourself. You expect a lot. And I expected a lot of myself, and I expected a lot for people that were, like, my sponsors. You know, I was fortunate and got to sign with New Balance after my collegiate career, and I had big plans for myself, and so for a year and a half, I didn't even compete, let alone accomplish any of those goals that I had set for myself. So I kind of just, my self-worth as an athlete was just very low. And I think at that point, it was just like, why do this? Why put myself through this? Put my sponsors through this? You definitely go through some really low points. And I was very fortunate to meet Darren during that time. I met him my first year out in the pros, you know, my pro career, but we started dating kind of towards the fall of that year. And so he knew me for my whole Achilles injury. And I think it was just really good to have him in my life. And I tell him to this day that I don't think I would still be competing if it wasn't for him.
And because you were going through that, is that when you started? Because it seemed like you obviously cross-train a ton between the elliptigo and running with jump ropes and all the different things that you do. So, I mean, at that time, it was sort of a necessity. It's not like you had other options. You had to do something to get some aerobic and anaerobic workouts in. Was that the point during your rehab that it was like, okay, I've got to do something?
Right. I did do a little bit of cross training in college. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we'd had like an optional cross train. So I knew, you know, I was kind of familiar with the concept, but I took it to a whole new level when I was injured. Like going from runs straight into the elliptical, and I have all these little workout routines that I do on it. And so, I remember seeing other runners start tweeting about this thing called the elliptigo, and I was like, well, if anyone needs an elliptigo, it's me, because I'm really doing this. Like, I'm always in the gym, always cross-training. So we were fortunate. Darren reached out to them, and I had a race out in San Diego, and I got to meet up with the national sales rep and go for a ride around Mission Bay. And so it was awesome that I got linked up with them, especially because if anyone should be the voice for,
And Darren works for him now.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny how all those connections get together. Like the first connection was, you know, because of me and needing that piece of equipment. And then, through that, when Darren finished his MBA, it just happened that there was a job available, and, you know, we had already kind of made those connections to them. So it's funny how things work out, but, you know, life has a way of working out. So
what I love is the fact that, you know, a lot of times people go through injuries and they cross train through the injuries, and then they get healthy and they go right back to their old pattern of run. But you learn something from that. That when I look at your training, you know, the thing I saw on the elliptico site where you'll go for a 60-minute run and then 20, 30 minutes on the elliptico. And it looks like the elliptico's 3, 4, 5 days a week sometimes.
Oh, for sure. I'm definitely, like, right now, I can for sure say I'm on it, 4 days a week now?
Yeah.
So, and you said it, I learned. Like, I learned my lesson. I learned what works for me. And I've said, you know, you can have the same goals, but sometimes you just have to adjust how you get to those goals. And with my body and things I've been through, I've had to adjust how to get to that goal. And I think I'm in a really good place. Like I said, still same goals, but just a different approach.
Well, and then in 2013, you won the Medtronic Mile, and then PR last year at the Harry Jerome 426. So you're getting better, and you're getting better through cross training.
Yes, I believe that for definitely. Like I'm able to add volume without adding the impact on my body. So I can keep, you know, my mileage steady and then also add in even more. I used to go for shakeout. Like I would do a workout in the mornings, mm-hmm. Like track intervals. And I used to then come back and in the afternoon, I would go for like a shakeout run. And the shakeout run's purpose was really just to clear some of that lactic acid from the morning and just kind of get the blood flow sure. going. And I would go for probably like 3 miles. Well, I just cut that out completely. And now on the elliptical, I can go for like 40, 45 minutes. So I'm increasing the time that I'm out there, but I'm not increasing any impact. And I'm actually taking away impact. So for me, I found that that's working out really well. And I've just stuck to that routine.
So now you're training up at Big Bear. And I think you're, yeah. are you running the Carlsbad 5000?
I tentatively have it on my schedule. I'd really like to give it a shot, and that's why I said I'm slowly opening the door to the idea of a 5K. I think the fact that it's an event that's almost in my backyard, it's one of those things like I'd really like to participate in.
Yep.
Especially it's just one of those things I think, wow, we're out here in California, I really need to do at some point. I want to see how my body adjusts to with the altitude training.
Yeah.
This is only my second time attempting an altitude stint, so I'm going to see how my workouts go, but right now I am planning to run Carlsbad.
Well, the cool thing about the format this year, I think the course is going to be, the elite course is different. And it'll almost be like running a track. You'll be running loops above the, it'll be cool. It's going to be a really great spectator-friendly format.
That's what, and I've never run it, so I don't know. I mean, we watched it last year, but Darren was actually telling me that, and I think he was, like, trying to entice me by, like, saying, it's loops, it's going to be track-like, and I do better with things like that. There's definitely something about the track that my mind can wrap around a lot easier. So, he was using that to entice me. So we'll see.
So when you met Darren, here's a guy who was a sub-4 minute miler, an elite runner himself. How important was that? Because he sort of knew what you were going through from an injury perspective.
I don't even think I realized how important having someone who understands was until I met him. And
yeah.
Now it's just like, he just gets it.
Yeah.
I mean, from every aspect, like everything I need to do, he just understands. And I don't even know, like, it just, now I'm like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. And you know, for us, it's a unique dynamic because he is coaching me now. And looking back again, I said, life has a way of working out. And I know that his career on the track got cut short, shorter than what he had intended. But ultimately, if that hadn't happened, he probably wouldn't have ended up coaching me. And I wouldn't have the great situation that I'm in right now with a training partner, a coach. And I he's given up a lot and sacrificed a lot for me. But I think, our situation just works so wonderfully, and I'm very grateful.
Now, did you know much about his dad? That his dad was the infamous Barry Brown. He was like a legend and a top 40-year-old runner, and he was a sub-4-minute miler. Was that something he shared early on, or is it one of those things you sort of learned from other people?
I kind of had to learn it. It wasn't something he just threw out there. And again, you got to understand, I'm coming from the no run. Like, I didn't come from a running background. I didn't know good runners. People would always ask me who my role models were when I was in high school, and I was just
Pele.
Like, I don't know anybody, you know? Like, I don't.
Julie Foudy. Mia Hamm.
Yeah, it was, exactly. It was like, that's my world was soccer.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
I actually found out about Darren's dad through, I was visiting him in Austin, and I remember he had a copy of that Runner's World article that they had done on him after he broke the sub broke four minutes in the mile.
Yeah.
Right, and they were the first father-son duo. And I remember just kind of reading that article, and that was my whole introduction to that whole story.
I had a feeling.
So I read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Go ahead.
No, no, I was going to say, I had a feeling he wasn't the type of guy who was just going to share that you'd sort of have to find out organically. It was like, oh, hey, there's an article.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, your dad ran a sub-4 minute mile, too? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. So up at Big Bear for the month, how have you adapted to the altitude so far?
It hasn't been quite as bad as I thought. The thing about altitude that I never seem to adjust to are hills.
Yeah.
I'm doing really well, and then I hit a hill, and I'm like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah, so, they don't have those on the track. What the heck?
But no matter how fit you are, hills at altitude, probably the worst.
Yeah.
The worst.
Especially if it's a little chilly, too. Cold,
yeah.
Altitude, and hills together is sort of like you're grasping, you're gasping for air, and the air is coming out cold.
Exactly. And we did get a little snow for the first few days, which was kind of nice because living in Southern California, you don't get to see that. Now, I'm good. I got my fix. I'm like, all right, it can warm back up. Seen it, been there, done that.
So,
it's nice to come somewhere and kind of focus in on what you're doing. And it's a beautiful place, and so I'm enjoying it.
Do you appreciate what's happening now more, the fact that your career was really almost over? I mean, you're talking about the
right.
Achilles surgeries and, oh, my God, we made it to the finals. This is so cool. It seems like, from talking to Darren the other day, it was the fact that you went through what you went through makes everything better.
It definitely does. I think, for me, I have a really good attitude about even just about this year, about just taking the opportunities I have, taking my chances. If this is what I'm supposed to be, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, then I'm going to do it, you know, with everything I have and give everything I have. And I'm grateful that I'm able to do it. And I want to seize the opportunity.
So goals for this year, what will be the big events for you this year?
It's a world year, so getting on that world team.
Yeah.
And, you know, I made it to on the world team in 2013, but I was the alternate. And so my goal for this year is to make the team and make it rightfully, just outright make it top three.
Yep.
Get on that world team. So I think that's my first focus.
What's the best race you've ever had where you just felt effortless? Or have you had one
there,
of those?
Well, no, I mean, I have. And the thing about it is, though, you run one of those races and that's what keeps you coming back. Like,
yeah.
That feeling and that, those moments are what keep you alive. And so I can't necessarily pick just one, because after you have that feeling, you're just on to the next one and you're craving getting that next one where you feel that way. So there have definitely been several races where I had that feeling, but I think it's, you're always searching for that next one, and that's the spirit of an athlete. So
there's so many. This is really a great era for American running, with Jenny Simpson and Brenda Martinez and Molly Huddle,
right.
And yourself and Shannon Roberry. I mean, there are a lot of great American women right now. Is there a camaraderie among, like, when you guys go to a race? It's like, hey, obviously I want to win, but if I'm not going to win, I want another American winning.
Right. Well, I think just in general, Team New Balance has a closeness, and again, I feel very fortunate to be a part of that team. And, you know, just on and off the track, we have each other's backs. And I just, you know, when you're not part of a collegiate team anymore, you can kind of miss that in the professional scene. And I feel like I've been fortunate to have that same kind of dynamic with my Team New Balance. And you hit the nail on the head. This is a great time for American running, except like middle distance running. And we're making mark for ourselves on the world stage, and I think that's key. And I think girls doing that, we're pushing each other to do that. You know, all it takes is for one person to break down that mental boundary that, oh, we can't get there. And you see other people starting to do it, and it just pushes you to think, okay, I belong there too. Like, if they can do it, I can do it. And I think that's the biggest thing. And so feeding off each other's success has really kept us pushing. And I think that's going to continue with all the talent and success that we've been having.
So you were at, it was nice of you to come and join us at our Tripalooza event a couple of weeks ago. And Darren was saying, you know what, Sarah's sitting there going, huh, triathlon. That looks pretty interesting.
I think with all the hype and hearing the so-and-so, you are an Ironman, I was like, I want that. I want to be told that. But let me tell you, I would have a long way to go. The only thing I have down is the running. And let's be honest, I don't have a marathon down yet. So I'd have a long way to go. I'm comfortable on the elliptical, but I am not comfortable on a bicycle. So the only time I rode a bike was in college, and I was like, oh, I'm going to get a bike and I'm going to start riding to class. And let me tell you, within the first week, I flipped over the handlebars, and that bike is still probably sitting in the University of Tennessee parking lot somewhere, chained up to a bike.
I love that. So what I love is when you guys broke the world record, your record at Tennessee was like 10:50. And then you guys, it's not like you did a Sergei Bubka and went like a quarter second under. You went 10:42. It's like 8 seconds off the record. That's called blowing something away.
Yeah. Well, we have, like I said, I'm fortunate to be part of a very talented team with Team New Balance. And that's what happens when you really set your mind to something.
Obviously. Sarah, congratulations on everything you've accomplished. It's really, really cool to have you in San Diego. Of course, a Big Bear right now, but it's great to have you and Darren here in Southern California as part of our endurance sports community. There's a lot of amazing athletes here, and I think you saw a bunch of them at the Tripalooza evening. It was pretty fun to get all the runners, triathletes, cyclists, mountain bikers all in the same place.
Yeah, that was such a great event. I have to say, you did an incredible job. My attention was captivated the entire time, which for me is very hard to do because I can be a little, I think, ADD at times. But yeah, that was an awesome event. And it's just the more I find out about Southern California and all the athletes and everything, it's really cool. And there's a great support system out here for athletes, and I love that.
Love it. And we'll see you out on the elliptical. I see Meb all the time at Fiesta Island riding his elliptical.
Normally, I'll be climbing Torrey on mine.
So. Oh, good for you. That's what hills are good for, elliptical, not running. You shouldn't be going uphill when you're running. Sarah Brown has been our guest. Again, we are brought to you by Core Sports, the very best in women's activewear, head sweats, Function Smart, and our buddy Gino Cinco. Check out all of our interviews on Babbittville Radio on iTunes. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.